was. Enjoyed that. Thank you, man. Good song tonight. God bless you for that. Wonderful. All right, our text verse, verse 44, and the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I want to talk to you tonight on recovering treasure. Recovering treasure. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the good music tonight, the congregational songs and this good special, the offertory, and all that we've enjoyed, the fellowship. Looking forward to some fun in a little while, Lord, at the close of the service. But Lord, right now we pray that our hearts are in a condition where we can receive your word. The Holy Spirit will be able to speak to us. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you come, bring that spirit of liberty that only you can give in a service. And help us, O Lord God, please, as we preach this portion of your scripture. And Lord, make it understandable, Lord, and helpful and motivating and challenging. And we'll thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray and ask all these things. And amen. There are several parables that Jesus told, and they fall under the heading of the Kingdom of Heaven parables. You'll find many of them, lots of them in the book of Matthew especially, some in other of the Gospels. Let me just talk a minute about these Kingdom of Heaven parables for you, so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. The age in which you and I are living right now, this New Testament church age, this age of grace, this age was hidden from the eyes, from the knowledge of the Old Testament prophets. Now, the Old Testament prophets wrote and preached about many things. And the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied a lot about Jesus Christ. They prophesied a lot about His birth. They saw His birth by way of prophecy. They saw a lot about His life. You know how many of the details of His birth were prophesied and fulfilled to the most minute detail. His birthplace and so forth and so on. They made prophecies about His life. They made prophecies about His death. He was numbered with the transgressors, the prophet Isaiah said. And sure enough, on that hill called Calvary, He was crucified between two thieves there on the cross, in that middle cross. And so they prophesied about His death. They prophesied about His burial. They prophesied about His resurrection. They prophesied much about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. They prophesied much about the tribulation period, the Antichrist, so forth and so on, the prophet Daniel and others. They prophesied about the millennium, that 1,000-year reign of Christ when Jesus will come and set up His throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover the face of the earth as the waters do. And so they preached a lot about Christ, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. They prophesied about the tribulation. They prophesied about the millennium. But between the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the tribulation period, the time you and I are living in right now, this time, this New Testament church age, there is nothing said about that time, about this time. It was unseen by the prophets. Nothing was written about this age. It was a mystery. And so Jesus has this group of disciples and followers. And they know nothing from the Old Testament scriptures about the church age. And so Jesus began to tell these Kingdom of Heaven parables. And in the Kingdom of Heaven parables, Jesus, if you will, He pulled back the curtain. Nobody had seen the New Testament church. Nobody had seen pastors and people and baptism and the Lord's Supper and soul winning. Nobody had prophesied and teaching and preaching. And all that we know in this New Testament church age. So nothing was written about it. He opened the curtain and He gave His disciples a glimpse of this age. He let them see a little bit of what the church age would be like. And so the Kingdom of Heaven parables give some ideas about the gospel, the spread of the gospel as it goes around the world, its results, those who get saved, those who don't get saved, and so forth during this time. The first Kingdom of Heaven parable that Jesus told is the one about the sower going forth to sow. He took the seed in His hand, and He cast the seed everywhere He went, and the seed fell on four types of ground. And whatever kind of ground it fell on, that determined what kind of result it would have. And He told the story about the tares and the wheat. Remember that one? And how that they look alike. And the angel said, "Should we go pluck up the tares now? Get ready." He said, "No, no, no." He said, "Wait till the end of the age and so forth. It'll all be sorted out." So he told about these truths. By the way, the word parable means to cast alongside, to cast alongside. So Jesus took the truth about this New Testament church age, and he told stories. You know, sometimes, and I think you can go overboard. I think you can be imbalanced several ways in preaching. Sometimes people get a little upset because preachers tell lots of stories. You know, that's how Jesus preached most of the time. Most of his preaching was allegorical. Read the Gospels. Most of his preaching was done with stories. And he took truth and he cast alongside the truth a story. You know, boy, Sunday school teachers, and those of you who have an opportunity to stand with open Bible and speak to people about the Lord, speak to people about the Word of God, you know, it's to a degree, it's important what you know. But it's not near as important what you know as it is if you can translate what you know to somebody else, if you can give what you know to somebody else, if you can give that. And, you know, every year in homiletics, I go over this with the people, with these fellas, and I did last Thursday. I said, fellas, get over the temptation to make an impression. Get over the temptation to make an impression. It's not what you know. It's can you get what you know across to somebody who needs to know what you know. That's what matters. And that's what Jesus did. Who could have talked in superlatives? Who could have talked in a language that no people could understand? Who could have plunged into the depths and soared above the highest heights more than Jesus Christ? But you know what he did? He told stories about salt and light and farming and householders. You know what he did? He put it on the bottom shelf, like John Rice said. Put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can have one. Amen. I like that. Amen. Our cookies are up high in the pantry, sweetheart. We've got to get the cookies on the bottom shelf. That's where they are. That's important. It's important what you know, but I'm going to tell you something. Knowledge is not an end. Knowledge is not an end of itself. In fact, Paul said, this is not in my notes, but it's good preaching right now. Amen. Paul said, knowledge puffeth up. Gives you a fat head. So anyway, back to the message. Here we go. All right. Parables. Stories. Casting alongside eternal truth. Stories that these men understood. They could understand this type of thing. They could understand a treasure hidden in a field. They could understand a sower going forth to sow. They could understand tares and wheat. They could understand pearls. They were fishermen. And so he told all of these stories to help illustrate biblical truth. Now, and to teach his disciples about the church age. Now, when you come to the parable in verse 44, and also the one in verses 45 and 46, we didn't read it, but look at it. You got it right there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, look at verse 44. You see the word man there? You see the word man? The treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found. See the word man? Now, you see in verse number 45, you see merchant man. If you'd like to mark your Bible, I believe with all of my heart, the man in verse 44 and the merchant man in verse 45, that's talking about Jesus Christ. Talking about Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, you get to verse 44. See that treasure hid in a field? Treasure hid in the field. And then look at verse number 46. You see that one pearl of great price? You know who that is, folks? That's me and you. That's you and me. That's those of us who are saved. Those who are saved, all right, will one day make up the church of the great assembly. I'm talking about those of us who've been saved. Now watch it. These parables are about between the time of His ascension into heaven and the tribulation when He comes in the rapture. So we're talking about a time period here that you and I are a part of. We're living in it right now. From the ascension of Jesus, His going up, to His rapture. And these parables are talking about that time. And He talks about Jesus and the treasure and the pearl of great price. I've heard it preached that the treasure and the pearl is Jesus Christ. I don't believe the treasure and the pearl is Jesus Christ for one second. I've heard it preached that the treasure and the pearl are a picture of Jesus and salvation. Friend, you don't sell all you have and buy or purchase salvation. You receive it as the free gift of God or you don't have it. I don't believe for a minute that the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price is Jesus or is salvation. And by the way, salvation is not hidden in a field. No, do you remember this is, again, let me just talk to you a minute. Do you understand? Remember when Paul was before Agrippa? Festus set that up. Felix was the governor. Paul gave his testimony to Felix. And then Festus came in Felix's place and he was the governor. And then Paul gave his testimony to Festus. And then King Agrippa came. Felix and Festus were just governors. Agrippa was the king. And so here came Agrippa and his queen, his wife Bernice. And Paul was witnessing to Agrippa. And he was preaching to Agrippa. And he was testifying to Agrippa. And he's testifying about Jesus Christ, about Christ dying and about His resurrection. Now he's talking to Agrippa when all of a sudden Festus the governor, he hollers out, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." He was the Joe Wilson of this day and age, of the Bible day and age. Amen. He hollered out in the middle. I mean, just hollered out. He said, "You're nuts. Much learning doth make thee mad." And then Paul said, Festus, he said, "I'm not mad." Listen to what he said. He said, "The king knoweth of these things. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." This death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is well known. His death, His burial, His resurrection is not some story lost or hidden to the ages. It's on the lips, it's on the minds of everybody. People's lives had been changed. People's families had been changed. Zacchaeus had been changed. Nicodemus had been changed. Joseph of Arimathea had been changed. All these folks had been changed. This thing's not a secret. This thing's out in the world for everybody to see. Said it's not done in the corner, and it was big news. It was big news then, and it's big news now. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so I don't believe for a minute that the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price is a picture of Jesus and salvation. No, sir. I believe that the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price is a picture of me. It's a picture of you. It's a picture of all the folks that have been saved since Jesus ascended into heaven and the folks who will be saved until the time Jesus comes in the air to rapture His people out. That's the treasure. That's the pearl of great price. And I want you to notice, friend, that the man and the merchant man, Jesus Christ, gave all He had to purchase our salvation. Amen. And it came at a great cost. And as I preached this morning, He willingly paid it. He didn't call for the rescue team to come and deliver Him. And I might add, friend, that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice verse 44. The treasure is hid in a field. The man is Jesus. The treasure is me. The treasure is you. The treasure is every person who's been saved since Jesus went to heaven and those who will be saved before the rapture or right at the rapture. The treasure is hidden in the field. Now, it's hidden in the field. In some of the other parables, the field represents the what? The world. The field is the world. And so the man, Jesus, bought the field. He paid the price for the whole world. Why? Because in the world there was treasure. There was treasure. I want the whole world. Because in the world there is treasure. Can we think about John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The treasure meant so much to Jesus. The treasure meant so much to Him. It was worth Jesus giving all that He had. Jesus looked at the world and He said, "There's the field, and the treasure is hidden in the field. And I want the treasure. And so because I want the treasure, I'll buy the field so that I can have the treasure that's hidden in the field." Now let me ask you a question tonight. If the value of something is partly determined by how much someone is willing to pay for it, then do you realize how valuable that makes us? Do you realize that, folks? All the agony, all the sweat, all the blood, all that He went through, all that He paid, is for us. And if the value of something is partly determined by how much someone is willing to pay, what greater cost could have been paid? $1 million in gold coins? That didn't even scratch the surface. You're talking about a man giving his life. You're talking about a man shedding his blood. You're talking about a man dying. Now, wait a minute, that's not all. If the value of something is not only determined by how much someone is willing to pay for it, but if it's also determined by how much effort someone is willing to go through to get it, again, do you realize how valuable that makes us? The effort that Jesus Christ went through, He paid a huge price. He went through being away from His home, from His Father for 33 and a half years. He went through being away from all the joys of heaven. He went through all the junk and the trash on this earth. Think about it. All the insults and all the criticism and all the contradictions and all the denials. You're a carpenter's son. The Creator subjecting Himself to the ridicule of the creature. I might add, I don't think you and I would put up with much of that. We got too much pride for that. Everywhere He went, everywhere He turned, they actually accused Him of casting out the devils in the power of the devil. You're possessed and empowered by devil spirits. God, holy, righteous, sinless, perfect, wonderful Jesus, ridiculed by that crowd who hated Him. All of that in order to purchase our salvation. All of that to get the treasure. All of it for the treasure. There is treasure in the world. There's treasure in the field. I want the treasure. I'll give my blood for it. And I'll endure all kinds of contradictions and criticisms and ugliness and hatred and denial because the treasure is that valuable to me. That makes us pretty valuable. That makes us pretty special, doesn't it? Now, can I say tonight that this treasure was not a pot of gold? No, I don't believe that. The treasure was, if you got a pot of gold, friend, the treasure would have been limited to how much was in the pot. Right? This was not a pot of gold. This was more like a mine. It's more like a mine. I found a mine. And in that mine, in that world, there are treasures hidden in that mine. It's just like the mines here. The gold mines. I was at the golf outing. Brother Deuce was, Jerry, talking about Jerry. Where's Deuce? Deuce, he must be working security tonight. Schneider. Jerry Schneider was Ron Palmateer's barber partner down at on West Jeffrey Street when Ron still had his barber shop. And Jerry has been through a lot of health issues. But he's been to all but one, I think, of the golf outings, and maybe all of them. And a great guy. And he's the guy, I don't know if I told you about it or not, he's the guy that lives in Arizona in the wintertime. He goes up into the mountains, and him and a buddy, and they go to the old gold mines, and they pan and they look for gold. And they find little flakes of gold. He's got a half ounce of it. That's probably, what, $500? An ounce of gold's about $1,000 right now, I guess. Maybe more. And he's got an ounce of gold. He was the one mining for the gold. He came within feet. He slipped and fell. And then when he fell, he heard zzz, zzz, zzz. And looked right into the eyes of a rattlesnake. 4.5 feet long, all curled up. Zzz, zzz, zzz. Now, he's an old Vietnam vet. He's got stories like you can't believe. Jerry's a brave guy. And he said, I remember stories. I remember them telling, if you ever come face to face with a rattlesnake, don't move quickly. Don't panic. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. And so he didn't. He said, I just stared at it. And he said, I just calmed down, collected my wits. And he said, I just started backing up. Just a millimeter, a centimeter at a time. It took him 45 minutes to back away far enough from that snake where he could walk away. 45 minutes. And he got away. If we I'd have gone, been bit by the snake. My gracious. Yeah. Now, look, it's just like there's a mine here and a mine there and a mine in the here and a mine in those hills and a mine. And that's the kind of treasure we're talking about here. We're not talking about a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We're talking about treasure hid in a field like a mine. A mine. The treasure was not a pot of gold. It was like a mine, a gold mine or a silver mine, a treasure mine. A mine has much potential. Can I say to us tonight, friend, in this New Testament church age that began at the ascension of Jesus and will end at His return in the air, can I say this tonight? Much treasure has been recovered from this field, but there is still much more to recover. Still much more to recover. Now, you and I have already been recovered. Somebody captured the heart of Jesus Christ and saw how valuable we were to Him. And they brought the message of the salvation that is in Jesus. And they brought the message of Jesus Himself to our listening. Maybe it was a godly dad or a godly loving mother. Maybe it was a brother or a sister. Maybe it was a co-worker. Maybe somebody brought you to church and a preacher preached the message of Jesus to you. Maybe somebody came to your house and sat down with open Bible and shared the story of the gospel. Maybe you heard it on the radio. Maybe you read it in a tract. But somebody, human instrumentation, was involved in the recovery of the treasure that is you and me. Y'all understand that tonight? We didn't come walking out of that mine on our own. No, 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 no. Somebody had to dig and somebody had to sweat and somebody had to get the equipment and go after and recover us. And thank God we've been recovered from this old world. But there is more to recover. And I have a couple of questions for us tonight. Let me ask number one, what's the rest of the treasure worth to us? What's the rest of the treasure worth to us? Do we see any value in the treasure yet to be recovered? Do we? Are we glad to be recovered? And God, praise God, it's good for us to be recovered out of the field of this world. It's good for us. But brother, what's good for us is good for others too. Do we care that others are recovered out of this world? Do we care that they're given the message of salvation? Do we care that they're given the privilege of spending eternity in heaven with Jesus and being saved and knowing Him here in this earth? What's the rest of the treasure worth to you? What is the treasure worth to you? Is it worth an hour or an hour or an hour and a half a week? Is it worth that much of your time to go out and knock a few doors and pass a tract out? Is it worth putting aside your agenda and going after treasure? Is it worth some effort? Is it worth some energy to find it? Is it worth praying for God to help you recover some more treasure? What's the rest of the treasure? I'm talking about the treasure that's still in the world. What's it worth to you tonight? What's it worth to you? Bought my wife a diamond ring when we got engaged years ago, and it was not a fancy thing. I was in Bible college. It was a very simple diamond ring. And since that time, the Lord has blessed me to be able to get her something much nicer, which she deserves. And I wish I could do something even nicer for her. She deserves whatever I could get. There's a little diamond. I remember one day coming home, and we were living in the North 3rd Street there in Washington, and so it had to be after 83, 84, 85, sometime in that time frame. And I came home and she said, she was all upset. And she said, look, and there, one of the little prongs had broken off that held the diamond, and the diamond was missing. That diamond was gone. Oh, man, just made her sick. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And we had blue shag carpet. Remember the shag carpet? Oh, shag carpet. And she said, I said, where was it? Where would you know where to find it? But I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked and I searched through that blue shag carpet. And it was in the living room and down the hallway. And I searched and I searched until I found it. I found that diamond. Put it back in. We got to put it back in her ring. I remember how excited she was and how excited I was to find that diamond lost in that carpet. And I want to tell you something, folks. There's still treasure in the field. There's still treasure in the field. Is it worth anything to you? Is it worth anything? Does it mean anything to you that there's still treasure in the field? Somebody that can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I look at some of God's people, not just here, but I'm talking about God's people in America especially. And you know, evidently the treasure means very little. Very little. Because it seems like there's no concern, there's no care, there's no time, there's no room in our lives to search for the treasure that's still yet to be recovered. That's sad. Treasure ought to mean something to us. It ought to mean something to us that Jesus was willing to pay so much and sacrifice His own life and shed His own blood and go through all the chunk that He went through on the way to the cross. He deemed us that valuable. I want the world. Why do you want the world? Because in the world is the treasure, and I want the treasure. So I'll pay the price for the whole world so that I can have the treasure that's in the world. And if it's that important to Him, shouldn't it be somewhat important to us? Somebody mind us out, friend. Oh, it'd be good for us to mind somebody else. The treasure should mean something to us. I was thrilled this week to hear about folks getting out and new folks getting out and folks that hadn't been before. I was thrilled to hear about salvation decisions. I was thrilled to hear different ones and seeing people saved on Tuesday and Brother Irvin going out, and Brother Irvin went an 84-year-old piece of treasure he mined out of the field this week. 84 years of age. Isn't that a blessing? It's supposed to come next Sunday. You pray He does. 84 years of age. 84. Boy, that's late, isn't it? That's late. Mind Him out of the field. And that's what I'm talking about. So thrilled. What's the rest of the treasure worth to you, friend? Does the rest of the treasure hidden in the field mean anything to you? You call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Does that mean anything to you that there's treasure in the field? Huh? Treasure in the field. You know, I sit in the office and I rack my brain. I drive down the road and I rack my mind. I say, Lord, what can we do to make it easier for more folks to get out, more folks to be involved, more folks? And you know, I understand sometimes schedules are just crazy. I was thrilled yesterday. We were visiting, Ray and I, in a certain part of Bradley over here, and we got into an area over on Double Jack, and we're knocking these doors, and we started in this one section. And we went down through there, and these people, every door we knocked on, where there was a person, every one of those people said, oh, Mary and Tim Gardner's church. Oh, Mary Gardner's church. Oh, yeah, that's where they go. Yeah, they've invited me. They've tried to get us to come. Yeah, they've talked to us. God bless my heart. God bless my heart. You know what that is? That's esteeming the treasure valuable. That's what it is. What's the rest of the treasure worth to us tonight? What's it worth to us? It was worth enough to somebody to come mine us out of the field of this world. And it ought to be worth, the treasure ought to be worth something to us. But wait a minute, I got a second question tonight. What's the one who purchased the field worth to us? What's Jesus worth? What's He worth to you? Because, friend, even if we never fully appreciate the value of the treasure that's still in the mine, brother, we should fully appreciate the one who considered us valuable enough to purchase us and recover us. We should appreciate Jesus enough to capture His heart and His desire and His love. Do you know what His desire is? Do you know what His heart is? Do you know what His love is? You know what it is? It's more treasure. That's what His heart is. More treasure. What would please you, Jesus? More treasure. What's your heart, Lord Jesus? More treasure. I paid the price for the whole world. Might as well get as much as I can. There's treasure in the field. That's what would make me happy. I'll tell you, friend, if we really loved and appreciated the one who bought us, we would be glad to help him recover some of what he craves. And that's treasure. And that's people. Would you believe it? Would you believe that Joyce lost that diamond a second time? I told you we didn't have much money. It wasn't fancy. It was really cheap. Another prong broke off, and she lost that diamond a second time. And she felt so horrible. And every time she would clean the house, she searched for it, couldn't find it. And every time she cleaned the house, she would sweep and she'd vacuum it, sometimes tear the vacuum cleaner apart to look in there, see if she could find that stone. And lo and behold, one day she was sweeping in the kitchen, and she got the little pile of stuff together and looked down, saw something sparkling down there. And there it was. She was so excited to find it. You know why? You know why she wanted to find it? Because of who gave it to her. She loved the one who gave it to her. She wanted to find it for my sake. So what's the one worth to you who purchased the treasure? Do you love Him tonight? Do you love the Lord? If we loved Him like we ought to, if we really appreciated all that He's done for us, we'd have His heart, we'd have His mind, we'd have His vision, we'd have His dreams, we'd have His desires, we'd have treasure on our heart. Let me say this tonight, and this is, I don't know, not a point two, three, or four, but let me say this. There is not much appealing about the treasure when it's first recovered at the beginning. It comes out in a big glob. It's got a bunch of impurities in it, but the more the treasure is processed and the more the treasure is refined, the more appealing it looks. The more appealing it becomes. The important thing is to get the treasure recovered and then let the process of refining take place. I look around this room tonight. And you know, we see the Mike Johnson that you and I see every Sunday here throughout the week. A godly man. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. When he was recovered, he wasn't what he is now. I see that guy there sitting up there Sunday after Sunday in that PA booth. And we see the Greg Payne of today. A man who loves to teach the Bible in his Sunday school class. A man whose heart just loves God, loves his wife, loves his children. We get the blessings of the Greg Payne. But I want to tell you something. When he was mined out of the world, when they went down to that mine and pulled that treasure out, it wasn't the Greg Payne we know today. Y'all with me tonight? We look at the Rich McDonald of today. We enjoy the music he works with and so many different. I mean, you don't know the hours that is spent. And groups being formulated right now of young people that will someday sing in our services that he's working with and preparing. But we enjoy that. We see the man with that godly family and that fine wife and a good ministry here at our church. But I'll tell you something. When he was pulled out of that mine at age 18, when he was pulled out of that mine at age 17, he wasn't the Rich McDonald we know today. Brother Harold Horman's a blessing to me. You mark it down, friend. Yesterday was a high water day at the bus meeting. He had more on his bus than Brother Caleb had on his bus in the afternoon. And we enjoyed the fire out of that. He knew I was going to, he ain't even here tonight. He knew I was going to talk about that. Look at that. He's not even here tonight. Huh? Man, we said, amen, glory to God. And he said, Brother Horman had 60 on his bus, and said it was more than Brother Caleb had on his bus. And we all said, amen, hallelujah. And we shouted, that was wonderful. It's like the New York Yankees losing, amen. It's like Notre Dame losing, amen. I mean, it's just wonderful. I know the Yankees are winning, and I know Notre Dame won, so y'all are happy. The Harold Horman that blesses us. No, he's just a blessing. I'm going to tell you something. When he came out of that mine a few years ago, he wasn't the Harold Horman that you and I know today. Y'all with me, folks? Y'all understand? Yes, sir. And that can be said about every one of us. No, sir. I mean, brother, we were mined out of that shaft, brought out of that gold mine. And there we came out with all that gunk and stuff all in us. But the process of refinement and going through the process of refining and so forth and so on. And after a while, here is a vessel, here is a treasure unto honor. You know what the important thing is, folks? The important thing is to get the treasure recovered. If you don't recover it, it'll never become anything that'll bring honor and glory to Jesus. Got to recover it first. Got to get it out. So if the treasure never is recovered, not only will it go to waste for all eternity, but it'll never be processed, it'll never be refined to bring pleasure to the one who purchased it. I'm looking tonight in the faces of a lot of treasure dug out of the world, processed and refined, people that are godly and who honor the Lord with their lives. I'm going to tell you something, friend, there's a lot more treasure in the field. There's a lot more treasure in the field. We just got to recover it. That's what this is all about. I'll never apologize for these weeks in the fall and the spring and the hoopla and the fun and the promotion and the money spent. I'll never apologize for it. Never. I haven't had to. Nobody's ever confronted me about anything. And it's a wonderful church because of that. I appreciate it so very, very much. I would never apologize for it, friend. You know why? Because the emphasis is getting the treasure recovered. If you don't get it recovered, it can never be processed and refined and be that beautiful treasure. It's got to be recovered first. What's it worth to you? What's it worth to you? And what's the one who valued you enough to buy you? What's he worth to you? Let's be busy recovering treasure. Pray about it this week. Maybe you ought to take a trip to the altar tonight and just pray. Say, God, please help me in these weeks to recover some treasure, to see somebody saved, to see them brought to church, to see them trust Christ at the altar, something. Use me, oh God. If not during this 5-week period, use me some other time. Maybe it's your neighbors, like the gardeners, who need to be talked to. Recovering treasure. Recovering treasure. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Dear Father, would you please take the message? It was very simple. But would you please challenge our hearts with it? Help us not to sit down. Help us not to be idle. Help us not to lose focus. Help us not to lose the edge. Help us, dear God, not to lose the compassion, the concern. Lord, somebody came after us. Somebody loved us enough to go into the mine shaft, mine us out. Jesus, thank you for purchasing the world. Thank you for your shed blood, the price you paid. Thank you for all that you went through in effort and work and blood and sweat and tears to purchase our salvation. Help us to recover treasure in these last days. Help us to be busy about it, please, especially in these weeks. At least, Lord, inviting people to church, passing out a tract, trying to witness. God, put it on our mind, put it on our heart. May these days be profitable for your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask tonight, is there someone here in the service that would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Member or visitor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that tonight? Would you raise your hand? Anybody in the service? All right. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I need to be baptized? I haven't followed you in believers' baptism. Followed the Lord in believers' baptism. I need to be baptized. Anybody like that tonight? I have been obedient to Christ in that area. All right, friend. How many would say, Brother Angel, Pastor? Boy, I'd love for God to help me recover a little treasure these weeks. And I want to get it on my mind and get it on my heart. And I want to value it, that treasure that's in the field. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to help me during these weeks recover some treasure. And the Lord spoke to me about it tonight. Would you raise a hand, please, wherever you're sitting across the room? Wonderful. Dear Father, help us. Lord, see the heart tonight. And see, Lord, I trust the sincerity. Dear Lord, may we not be idle. May we not sit down. Lord, thank you that you're still in the soul-saving business. God, it's exciting to hear about Crystal Lake. It's so exciting to hear about East Los Angeles, Joe Esposito. Church in Sanger, Texas. That's where it is, Lord, Sanger. So excited to hear about that. Other places. We're so glad you're working there, but God, we want you to work here. There's treasure in Kankakee. Somewhere there's treasure in Bradley. Somewhere there's treasure in Bourbonnais. There's treasure somewhere in St. Anne, Watseka, in Moments and Mantino. There's treasure where we live. There's treasure where we shop. Help us, oh God, to recover it. Use us, please, as a church. Use us as a people. And Jesus, can I just thank you so much for loving us enough to be willing to purchase the field, the world, so that we could be saved and recovered. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. They play us a song.